All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is August 27th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our class on Sefer Yirmiyahu, the book of Jeremiah, and we find ourselves in chapter 13. Yes, last week we did some background work to get us up to date. We are now in the reign of Tzidkiyahu, and now we're going to look at one, maybe two, very interesting prophecies that came to Yirmiyahu. So there's been a while since Yirmiyahu has experienced nevuah, since he's experienced prophecy. He's been in hiding because the kings, whoever's in charge, and the leadership want to kill him, or at least put him in jail, because they don't like what he has to say. He keeps telling them that bad stuff is coming from the north, trouble's coming, if you don't repent, this is all going to be lost, and they don't want to hear him, and so he goes into hiding. So now we come to a prophecy that starts at the beginning of chapter 13 that says as follows. Kama Hashem Eli, Haloch Vikanita Lecha Ezur Pishtim. V'samto al matnecha u'amayim lo tivyehu. He tells Yirmiyahu to go buy a loincloth of linen, and he tells him to put it on, and he tells him not to let it come in contact with water. V'eknaat ezor. So Yirmiyahu says, I did what God told me to do. I bought this loincloth, k'divar Hashem va'asim al matni, and I put it on. More than Hashem came to me again and said something. A second time he said, go take this loincloth and go to Pirat and sort of stick it in or cover it up there in a cleft of the rock.
Bury it,
exactly. I did what God told me to do. Go back there. Now go find the loincloth that you buried there. I went there. I dug it up from the place where I had hidden it. It's been ruined. It was not good for anything. Okay.
Why does he have to, in order to get the idea, why does he have to use this Ezor? It's not particularly outstanding idea.
Right. Okay,
could
let's see.
He said, here is a card, I'll break it, and over there.
He tried that already, remember? He did that.
Yeah, he did. Or some other thing, but
right.
Take the trouble to go to Prat. Why to Prat of all
things? Okay, so let's see. Let's go step by step. And see if we can figure the answer to some of these questions. Why did he have to go to this place, Prat? Where is it to begin with? Why did he have to use a loincloth? What's the purpose of digging it up, of burying it only to dig it up again? Let's learn some of the commentary. So first of all,
maybe the Zopishtim is something that they used to put when you mourn, they used to use that.
Oh, could be.
Big day avelut.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Let's see. First of all, let's first talk about where he had to go. Right? Why he had to go to this place called Parata. Now, we mentioned last week, right, that Nahar Prat is a river in Bavel.
Yeah.
Okay? If you actually have a map.
So when you say parata, it means going to
parata. Parata means to parat. That's a common
yeah.
biblical usage. Here's Nahar Parat, right up here. See where my finger is?
Here,
can you see where it is? Nahar Prat. Okay?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to read you the comments. The question is, did he go all the way over there, which is a long way from where Yirmiyahu is? Did God tell him to go there? And then presumably Yirmiyahu came back. And then God told him to go back again to Parata. That seems to be a little bit outrageous, a little much to ask of him. Okay, I'm going to read you the.
Where was he?
He was in. He was in at this point hiding. I'm not exactly 100% sure where he was hiding. Let me read the commentary, which some of it will become clear to us. Okay, here's what the commentary says: Hatzivui kum mabia kan lo kima al haraglayim ela hatchalat hapeula. Right, when he says get up, he doesn't literally mean stand up. He means get going. That's We're cool. starting the project. Kimo vayakam vayelech el aram naram. Okay, and then it says parata, which means el parat, like you said, Liora. Hey, b'sof Hashem b'makom lamid b'tchilato parati ein il para sha'al yad anatot v'kachamisha kilometrim mimena.
You said that it's right? a different anatot, not the anatot where Shmuel was.
I'm not a
Nimshach.
It could be the same.
I think the
sure.
other Anatot is near near Judea.
Well, that's where he is. That's it. He's in that area, right? And which is like he says, Ukitisha kilometer mitzvon Mizrach Yerushalayim. It's only 9 kilometers right. from Yerushalayim. Yeah, so that's the area where he is.
So he's right? so far
where
away.
He is. He's
really?
He's in this neighborhood. Where you see where Yerushalayim is, and God's telling him to go parata.
And they didn't have an airplane.
So listen to what he says. The commentary. The commentary says, "V'yesh omrim shakatuv mitkaven l'nahar prat." There are some commentaries who say that God wants him actually to go all the way up to Nahar Prat. Ulam divrayim einam nirim.
I think that there was another anatot.
Well, let's see. There's another. I know what you're suggesting is you're uncomfortable suggesting that God made him go from Anatot all the way to Farad.
Just tell them that.
Right. So you're right, but the solution is going to be different than your solution. Okay? He says as follows. Ulam derem enam nirim. It doesn't make any sense, like you're saying, to from going all the way from Anatot all the way up there. Shekein kashel lahaniach shashem shalach et Yirmiyahu lemerchak gadol kokach shel karov le'elef kilometers. 1,000 kilometrim, 1,000 kilometers from where he is to where Nahar Prat is. Sheilech bo arba pamim, 4 times. Litimona taizur, to bury it. Blach zero, and to get it.
Do you think that's 1,000 kilometers? It's just so small. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Go.
Velo, here, look at the, there's a little on the bottom there, at the bottom of the map, there's a legend. Right, that tells you. Look, it could be 1,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
V'lozu b'vad ela she'ein silaim bigdot nahar prat ela b'chel kohel yom b'vad. Right, these big rocks that he says he has to hide this loincloth in don't exist there.
It's another prat.
right, exactly. That's the answer. V'yitaken she'tziva Hashem et Yirmiyahu l'tzmona te'ezor dafka al yad ma'ayan prat. O Nachal Prat Shebe Eretz Binyamin. You can go there now. There is a place called Ein Prat. Hoil Ushmo Dome L'Shem Hanar Hagadol Nahar Prat.
I think near Maale Edomim there is Ein Prat something.
Yes.
That's right.
Right. So now this is really interesting. God is
right
telling
next
him to
Maale
go.
Edomim.
I think so. To go to a place that sounds like.
Yeah.
Nahar Prat, but he can't really send them to Nahar Prat because that's unreasonable. So go to another place that sounds like Nahar Prat. Lomar lecha, says the dot mikra here. Sha'atidim b'nei Yisrael hanishchatim liglot le'eretz bavel sha'al yad Nahar Prat.
Okay.
This is foreshadowing the exile. You're going to go to this place which sounds like Nahar Prat, which is symbolic that when the Jews are exiled, they're going to be at the real one.
Very nice.
The one which is 1,000 kilometers above. That's one approach to why Nahar Prat. Another option.
An exile when they go up.
Yeah, they're being kicked out of Eretz Yisrael and they're being kicked into Bavel.
Okay.
Oh, Lamedcha, or to teach you. Shenishchatu b'nei Yisrael al yedei hapulchan ha'elili shel ha'ashurim v'habavliim sheyashvu ve'eretz nahar prat, or to teach that the Jewish people have become corrupt, religiously corrupt, by the religious ceremonies of the people who live in Nahar Prat. Okay, so Nahar Prat here is supposed to be symbolic either of the religious downfall of the Jewish people or foreshadowing the eventual galut, the eventual exile. It is not a real, he's not really going to Nahar Prat. He's going to a place, Parata, which is supposed to sort of remind Yirmiyahu of Nahar Prat, and then he'll extrapolate from there what's going to happen. Now, we can even take it a step further, right? According to these commentaries, Yirmiyahu never went from Anatot to Nahar Prat. He just went from Anatot to Ein Prat, or Nahal Prat. According to the Rambam, the whole thing was a nevuah. Mm-hmm. He didn't go anywhere.
I see. Yeah.
Right? He didn't go...
And he didn't bury?
He didn't go anywhere.
And he didn't bury the Pishtim?
It could be just the whole thing is a nevuah.
I see.
Okay? Okay. So, that explains why he has to go... all the way, that explains why the language prat is used. Okay? What we haven't yet discovered is why he specifically wants him to use this beged pishtim, right? Why he specifically wants to use this loincloth. By the way, I'll just tell you, not only does the dot mikra, but a lot of the other commentators also are agreement that we're not talking about going to Nahar Prat specifically. It's symbolic of something else. Okay, now, according to the Mikrali Yisrael, the reason he has to use this linen cloth is because it says, V'hu ragish l'rikavon b'mayim. Right? It's a very delicate, right? It's a very delicate cloth, this linen. It's very delicate, and so it will quickly... become rotten in water.
So this is all symbolic of...
Also, what's very interesting, I'll get a chumash. If we look at the pasuk in... hold on one second. If you look back at the beginning of Yirmiyahu, chapter 1, verse 17, 1004... The word azor, which is what he's told to get, is sometimes also used like to gird your loins, to be strong. Mm-hmm. Right? Look at verse 17. Aviata tezor matnecha vikamta vidibarta eleha. Right?
It's strong.
So here, what's going to happen? Now go back to our perek. Go back to our chapter.
Yeah.
What's going to happen in our chapter is the strength of Yehuda is going to be destroyed. Right? Look at verse 8. Vayhi devar Hashem elai lemor, ko amar Hashem, kacha ashchit et ga'on Yehuda, vet ga'on Yerushalayim harav. Right? The pride of Yehuda and of Yerushalayim, that's all going to be destroyed. So this linen garment, which is... very easily overcome, susceptible to rot, to disintegration, represents at the same time, right, because it's used as a symbol of strength, it represents Yerushalayim, it represents the Jewish people, and just like it is easily disintegrated, susceptible to disintegration, right, if you don't take care of it, if you put it in a bad place, right? Same thing. If the Jews are not careful with how they behave, then they are also going to be susceptible to rikavon, to destruction. So that is some of the symbolism that's going on. Here's another question, which is why is there a prohibition of, why does God prohibit Yirmiyahu from getting it wet? Okay? So again, the commentary here I'm reading, it says v'samto al matnecha uvemayim lo tiviyehu. It says as follows: Tchila nitztava Yirmiyahu lasot be'ezor shnei divarim. Originally, Yirmiyahu was told to do two things: one, l'bosh oto kedei sheyit kashet v'yitpe'er bo b'fnei habriyot. Right, it was white, it was beautiful. He's supposed to put it on, and he's supposed to adorn himself, right, and be beautiful in front of the people. And also shelo v'yei b'mayim, not to get it wet. Kolomar lo yichabsehu. According to Rashi, it doesn't mean not get it wet. It means don't wash it, right? Mishe yitlachlech v'yizdahem kishehu al matnav umisofo shelenyan lemedim matam amar lo hakadosh baruch hu kach. Right, it's this beautiful thing that he's glorified before everyone while he wears it, and now God tells him not to wash it, which become clear. Why? Hezor hu semel la'am Yisrael.
That's what we use. Linen we don't wash. We give the dry cleaning.
Back then,
really
I don't know what they did.
Destroyed the...
Right. But not to clean it. Why? Because the Ezor, like we said, which represents strength, is a symbol of Am Yisrael. Sheme ahavato oto hidbiko Hashem elav hitpa'erbo. Right? Because of God's love for us, we were beautified by our connection to God. V'lo hesiru me'alav afilu l'sha kala. God didn't remove us from him even for a moment. Therefore, also Yirmiyahu was not allowed to take it off. But because he didn't wash it, it naturally became dirty. Like any garment that someone wears for many days and doesn't clean. It's not worthy of being worn anymore. It's symbolic of God rejecting the Jewish people. God kept us on him, so to speak, for all these years, never got rid of us, but we started getting dirty, like the loincloth. And just like God told Yirmiyahu now to get rid of the loincloth and take it off, God is saying also, I'm getting rid of the Jewish people, right? As long as the Jewish people were clean and pure, Davak Hashem Bahem, God stuck with them, literally. God was connected with them. Aval Mishe Nitlach Lechu V'nitme'u B'chataim. When we got dirty and impure with sin, Gazar Hashem L'harchikam Me'alav. Then God decreed to distance the Jewish people from him. And so those are all the symbolic pieces. Why parata? Why this linen? Why to wear it, but not to walk, and not to, and not to, not to clean it? But we haven't.
What about the wine?
The wine is the next thing.
But we haven't gotten there yet. Okay. Okay. Now. So let's keep going.
Yes, so here like it says, body, like when we
tamneu sham, right? Hakavana hichbiu sham betoch adama, bury it. Shechein nemar acharav echpor ve'kachet ezor. So we unbury it. Mikan shiyam mechuse adama, it was covered. Nikik hu sedek b'sela hahar, it's like a crack. Sheyesh bo kedei lachzik ben adam o afilu b'nei adam. Like a large crevice to hold people, in there. V'nireish nit kavena katuv davkul nakik zet techilin etzaveh hanavi uve'mayim lo tiviyehu v'yatan etzaveh letamno davkul makom ratov meod. These places are damp. Also, she kalkelu hamayim sharei kol chomer organi mit kalkel b'retivut im hu natun ba'zman meruba. So that's why he specifically wants it in this type of crevice, because it's apparently damp in there, and it's going to get ruined. So this represents Bnei Yisrael going into ruin and eventually being exiled into Babel. Okay, so God tells him to do that, and he sees, right, v'lo yitzlach kol, right? It was totally destroyed. Then God says, and this is what this means. Now, this is what this means. V'idvar Hashem elai l'emor, ko amar Hashem, kacha ashchit et ga'on Yehuda ve et ga'on Yisrael harav, ha'am hazeh hara, ha'me'anim lishmoa et divarai, ha'olchim yishrut libam, ve'yalchu acharei Elohim acherim, la'avdam, ulehishtachavot lahem, v'hike ezor, hazeh asher lo yitzlach klal. I mean, this is, it's very disturbing, right? Just like this loincloth came out of the Sela, worthless, like totally destroyed, like a real shmata, right? The same thing is going to happen to Bnei Yisrael. They will become like the loincloth, which is not good for anything. Like, oh, ki kasheh baka Yisrael matnai ish, ken hidbakti elai et kol Beit Yisrael. For as a loincloth clings close to the loins of man, so I brought close to me the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Judah. Ne'um Hashem, declares the Lord. Liyot lila am ulashem ultilat fer velo shamo. Right? I was taking care of them like they were a precious garment. And now that a loincloth is also has like maybe this symbolism of intimacy, right? It's a loincloth. It's very close to your body. And God kept the Jewish people so close, but they would not listen, they would not obey. And God says that's what is symbolized by this. Okay, that's the first nevuah. Okay, the second nevuah.
But Jeremiah doesn't give you good tidings.
No.
Nothing good.
No. Now there is a there's another nevuah. Okay. Which we will, I don't think I'm going to start the other nevuah now, because I don't think I'm going to get through it totally in time. So we'll just make a couple of other points on this nevuah. So we said this loincloth teaches Yirmiyahu, right, about the destruction of Yerushalayim and the kingdom of Yisrael, and as Yirmiyahu is holding this loincloth in his hand, God says, "Kacha ashchit et ga'on Yehuda et ga'on Yerushalayim harav." Right? You can imagine it's a very dramatic moment, right? He's holding it in his hand, and God says, as destroyed as this loincloth is in your hand, that's how badly I'm going to destroy Yerushalayim and the Jewish people." Right?
And so he's telling Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu is telling the people again because.
Well, we don't know. We don't know, actually. We don't know. Yirmiyahu has recorded this for us, but we have no indication that he told Bnei Yisrael. It's too late. Now this is just between God and Yirmiyahu. It seems like it's too late. So one of the questions that that Rabbi Lau asks in his book on Yirmiyahu, he says, why have these particular people been exiled to Babel? Because at first, some argue that when it says the pride of Yehuda, Gaon Yaakov, it's only talking about the leaders. That they were the exile into Babel was staged. Mm. First, it was the leaders and.
Exactly.
We saw it last week. They were willing to leave behind some of the dalei ha'am, right? The less thans. They were only taking up they only selected certain people. The king we saw was exiled, and a new king, Tzidkiyahu, was put in his place. So if you look at verse 18 in this chapter, for example, it says, "Emor lamelech v'lagvira hashpilu shevu ki yaran rasho techem ateret tifartechem." Say to the king and the queen mother, who plays a role in these chapters, "Sit in a lowly spot, for your diadems are abased, your glorious crowns." Right? You have fallen. From your high position, yes. Right? Exactly. Green. Right. They are the head of this convoy of exile. They are the first. We read that last week. They were kicked out, And he says you have to humble yourself, right? You've lost your status. You have to recognize your humiliation. So you have the queen mother here, the wife of Jehoiakim. She probably hates Yirmiyahu. And if we look in verse 19, Arei ha-negev sugru ve'ein poteach ha-glat Yehuda kula ha-glat shlomim. The cities of Negev are shut. There is no one to open them. Yehuda is exiled completely. All of it is exiled. So eventually, the people are going to be exiled as well. But at first, there's maybe a limited exile going on here for some of the leadership who are the most haughty and the least humble, and they're the ones who go first. They're the ones who go first into exile. And then Yirmiyahu says in verse 22, V'chi tomri bilvaveich madua kira'uni ele. And if you ask yourself, why have these things happened to me? Barov avonech niglu shulayich nechmesu akevayich. It's because of your great iniquity, your skirts are lifted up, your limbs are exposed. Right? This is a language of they're being embarrassed, they're being humiliated. Your royal robes and your rich and expensive clothing, right, are being taken away, right? This is the end of what's happening. This is the beginning of the exile. Then he continues, Hayafoch Kushi Oro V'Nemerchav Ruvotav. This is where we get this phrase from. Can a leopard change its spots?
Yeah.
Right. Just as much can you do good who are practicing and doing evil. If I will scatter you like straw that flies before the desert wind, this shall be your lot, your measured portion from me, declares the Lord, because you forgot me and trusted in falsehood. In turn will lift your skirts over your face, and your shame shall be seen. I behold your adulteries, your lustful neighing, your unbrowed depravity, your vile acts, etc., etc.
Yeah, but the Cushi cannot change your role.
Right.
But if you are repent, you are.
I think that's what he's saying now. I think we're beyond. We're beyond that point, he seems to be saying them. Or maybe he's taunting them, but it seems to me that we're beyond the point of no return.
It's not clear why he said they are for Kushiro.
And that's going to be the end of it.
Telling him that you can't change anymore, you've done.
Right, he says you're done.
No, he's asking, can the Kushi change?
Yeah,
I'll read you the commentary.
Change.
It's rhetorical. It's rhetorical. Hashela militzit. V'inyana hakushi lo yafoch et oro.
But you can.
And then he says, the point is, Mikra katsar v'kavato kein gam atem lo tuchlu lehetiv et derakeichem. It says, atem, right, look at the pasuk. Gam atem tuchlu lehetiv. Just as much can you do good who are practicing and doing evil. It's also sort of rhetorical. Gam kein atem lo tuchlu lehetiv et darchem. V'yesh b'mikra hashva'ot lelo milat kashur shel hashva'a. Right? There's no direct word connecting them, but he's basically saying, you can't, you're done. You're right in pointing this out, Shua. That's a very, very sad...
Gam atem tuchlu lehetiv.
Right, so the way that it's understood is mikra katsar hu v'kavanato kein gam atem lo tuchlu lehetiv et darchechem. That's what the Dat Mikra says. I'll see what he says here. He says as follows. Gam Atem 23. Ha'im Kushi bin Amer yochalim l'shanot et tzva'ehem ha'ofaniyim im kein ach baror shelo. Harei kach Gam Atem Yisrael harigilim lahara. Misugalim lihishtanot kach gamatem Yisrael regim lahara misugalim lihishtanot litova hamavar milashon nochichot lenochichim koteya et dimui haisha umifarsho al am. So it could be maybe that Yirmiyahu is saying that they have a chance.
Yes, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Was thought that it's not a good example.
Yeah, it sounds like you can't.
Just as much can you do good. I think it sounds like he's saying not.
Yes.
Just like a Cushite can't change his skin or a leopard his spots, just as much
can you do good.
I mean, you can't. Just like, you can't.
So it's lotuchlule.
Right, lotuchlule. Yeah, okay. So, well, we'll stop here, and next week we'll pick up with the nevuah of the wine.
Another bad one.